Welcome to Beyond Rent, the property management podcast brought to you by Rent Manager. Each episode, we sit down with an expert to talk industry updates, tech solutions, and top tips for those in the property management space. And now, let's get to the conversation and go Beyond Rent.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Beyond Rent. While there are many different types and styles of homes, one that not everyone knows as much about is manufactured homes. There's lots of them out there, but not a lot of information that's widespread about them. So we want to learn more about this side of our industry and what's happening in manufactured housing. So we have brought Rick from manufacturedhomes.com on the podcast to tell us what he knows about this industry. Rick, welcome to Beyond Rent.
I am glad to be here, Joe. What a great place. Here at the Nerve Center, the center of all the action for Rent Manager at the headquarters. This is a wonderful place, wonderful location, and glad to be here.
Yeah, glad you made the way all the way up. So for anyone that doesn't know Rick, and we'll get to know him a little bit more here in a second, he's actually from Northern Kentucky, and LCS, Rent Manager, is in Cincinnati, so we're not too far from each other. So he made the long drive all the way to our office this morning to sit down and have this conversation with us. So I always love having people in studio. We were just talking about how it's such a better conversation. It's a lot more fun, and we get to meet each other as well. So again, thanks for
making the time out. There we go. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Excellent. So let's start up the conversation by getting to know you better. You've done a lot in your life. You were telling me of all these different hobbies and different projects that you've been involved in, but let's start primarily with your involvement in the manufactured housing, and I would say just the kind of the real estate property management world. Tell us about how you got started in all this.
So I first became familiar with manufactured housing really back when it was a mobile home. There is a time frame to this where it changes over, and I say that because when I was in college, I lived in a mobile home. Truly a mobile home. You'll hear people that will complain about the use of that term in today's lexicon, but no, I lived in really one that had the bouncy floors and the whole bit. But I went, after I got my law license, I went to Capitol Hill and worked on Capitol Hill for United States Congressman Jim Bunning. And Jim was on the housing subcommittee when you got up there. The joke always was you had to have seniority to get off the housing committee. It's where everybody on the banking committee, when the new members got stuck, they had to do housing for a couple of years before they could move on. But at that point in time, there was a big issue going on about manufactured housing. And so we had to get up to speed pretty quickly on what it was, what the manufacturing process was, what it is to make a factory-built home. And so that was kind of my first introduction to it. I spent 6 years on Capitol Hill. Moved back home, went with a law firm here in Greater Cincinnati, and suddenly started representing some of the people that were in the industry, communities, people that had manufactured home communities. So I got to know more through that. That led me to Washington again, where I became general counsel for the Manufactured Housing Institute. So it's been a progression of some 40 years that I got to know what manufactured housing was to the point in time right now where I'm working for manufacturedhomes.com, which is, I guess the best way to think about it, Joe, is that if you think of we're the cars.com for manufactured housing. We create marketing programs, including online marketing itself, digital marketing itself, for people that are in the manufactured housing business.
Well, and I think we're all very familiar with cars.com. I hope most people are, right? If you've ever bought a car, you probably have been on that, especially a used car. So that makes a lot of sense. Everyone needs a place in the digital world to be able to sell and have a marketplace to move product. And this is a place where manufactured homes can have those transactions and that visibility.
Right. If you go right now to manufacturedhomes.com and you were to go online, you can actually search for homes, shop a home, take a Matterport 3D tour of a home, look at pictures of the home as it's been set in other places. You can see a video on the home. More importantly, what you can do is you can click a button and say, I want a price quote, and it will find the person closest to you that sells that particular model. And it will connect you in real time with a request for a price quote to that particular dealer.
Well, and that's a perfect comment to make there, because that shows how modern and sophisticated and tech forward this industry really is. And you had mentioned the many decades that you've been involved in this industry. So walk us through that a little bit. I want to know about the evolution. You had mentioned you lived in a mobile home. Now we call them manufactured homes. I imagine that the one that you lived in was not purchased on the internet, right?
No.
But
no,
now you can.
There was barely cable television when I went to college, Joe. Come on, give me a break here. I've earned this gray hair. So, but the key date, for all of this, I should say year as opposed to date, is 1976. In 1976, homes that were built in a factory really didn't have any particular building code that they were being built to. And so one community might say, okay, we want you to be to the IRC. Another one might say, oh, we have a different building. You have all these different codes out there. So Congress goes in 1976 and preempts the field. We're going to have one building code that represents all of factory-built homes in the country. And anything built to this code is okay. One code. Now, there are changes in the code that apply to where you're from. So, you know, us living in Ohio and Northern Kentucky, we may have a different wind standard or a different load-bearing standard for snow than, say, for instance, Florida does. Up until this year, we never thought Florida would even worry about snow-bearing loads. But, in fact, each one of them have different areas. Coastal areas, for instance, have a very different wind zone requirement than what we would have here. So depending on where you're at and everything, so they put this code out there, and 1976 is the start. Then you get into the 2000s, and there's a second adoption of the code. And so that's what we're currently on, is the current updated model of that. And again, it's important to realize that what we're talking about and the evolution, when you say the evolution, that's a perfect word, because it's the evolution of a home. The manufacturing at the front of it, when you say a manufactured home, a site-built home, a whatever it is you're saying, that's just a process. The fact in the matter is that these are homes, whether they are built on site, whether they are built in a factory. Now there is a product, for instance, called CrossMod, where instead of a modular home that is going to be built to the IRC level, the main portion of the home is going to be built to the HUD code, and then there's additions on it like garages that are going to be built to the IRC code. So it's really an evolution that is moving forward, and there are places in this country where I can take you down a street. There's one in Oklahoma that I've been to that is just fascinating to me, because you can drive down this street, and unless you know what you're looking for, you can't figure out which one was built in a factory and which one was built on the site. And so it really is an evolution that is coming, and is coming with quite a bit of fury with the cost of local home prices. You know, these are homes are attainable for folks that are out there in a workforce situation. This is homes that, you know, can be purchased for, you know, excluding land, for at times under $100,000, depending on where it is you're going to put it and on land and things like that. So it's really a new age and a new level for factory built homes.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the history there, because we've all heard the term mobile home, right? Mobile home park. And to have that date of 1976 and to kind of understand the difference between something that was factory built under a certain code versus something that was pre-1976, there's a huge difference there. And absolutely, and to recognize that difference. But the reality is it's taken many years, and I guess we're not even quite there yet, to kind of get rid of that terminology of mobile home park and maybe get rid of some of that stigma, because we've all experienced what that product looks like in one way or another. If we've lived in it, walked through one, seen one, whatever it may be, we all have that kind of image. But what you're describing, the modern version, the version that, you know, manufacturedhomes.com is really focused on promoting and selling, this is a whole new world.
Absolutely. The problem that we have in the factory-built world is that everybody's still living under the old stigmas of what I lived in when I was in college. Bouncy floors, the area that nobody wanted to live in except the college kids and the poor kids. Okay? That is what everybody still has in their mind. One of the things that we've been doing a lot in the industry with is that we've been taking homes to various events. You can take a home before, you know, as you're shipping a home to its new location, it's really not a big deal to stop at, you know, Kentucky every year for the Kentucky League of Cities. A home that is going somewhere stops at Rupp Arena. The home is set up, furnished, looks just like for the Kentucky League of Cities. Whereas city officials come through and look at it and go, this was constructed here? Yeah, in a day. Yeah, we put this on this thing. It takes about a week for it to come off the assembly line. It takes us about a day to set it up here. Then it's going over to Versailles, where it's going to be a put up for sale. And people just walk out, and the look on their faces, you know, is two comments that always stand out to me was, man, this ain't my papaw's trailer. And it's not. We're talking about the construction of it. We're talking about 2x6s. We're talking about insulation. We're talking about all the things that you would be looking at in any home. It's a home. And so that's really the big thing right now is to try and get past those stigmas to realize that this is just like any other home. Just we build it. We don't build it in the middle of the rain and snowstorms. We build it in an environmentally protected environment. We build it where there's no snow, there's no rain. I have a builder of mine who says the only place you ever find a true square corner in a home is one that's built in a factory. Again, because we don't have those things. And for those that are environmentally concerned, when they build one of these houses, all of the waste, all of it, Joe, can be put into one 55-gallon drum. One bag. Boom, that's it. That's how precise it is when they're making these homes.
Well, and when we think about manufacturing in general, I tend to think about maybe the automotive industry. And again, think about that whole world. These cars are built in factories, right? There's assembly lines, a lot of efficiency, very little waste, very little movement. They're really trying to maximize their profits, right? By efficiency. Right. And really, a factory-built home is really no different, right? Because for these manufacturers to make money and to be competitive, they have to be efficient and they have to make high-quality products. Otherwise, their competitors are just going to destroy them.
What's really interesting right now, Joe, is that it's not only covering in the industry those, you know, what you would call the attainable homeowner. Mm-hmm. It's becoming the modular mansions. You know, I have a friend of mine who developed a three-story box is what they refer to, nine box unit ski chalet in Lake Tahoe. There's a guy who runs a plant called Deer Valley that has just done a barnuminium. That is incredible. My wife wants me to sell our home and buy one of these barnuminiums and find some land to put it on. It really is getting to a level of it covers not only the attainable, but it goes up to the modular mansions as well now.
And let's talk a little bit about that. So you used the word attainable earlier. We were chatting before we hit the record button about kind of that phrasing attainable. Other people may have heard affordable. In the past, they're really slightly interchangeable. But the whole idea is that regardless of the type of home you're looking for, manufactured factory-built homes can step in and provide you something that's attainable. So even if maybe you you have some funds available, maybe you are well established, but you're looking for a ski chalet or you're looking for a second home, a factory built home could be a great option for you because you can maybe get more than what you would have in stick built, but it also meets the needs of the of other people that are maybe first time home buyers or whatever the case may be, where they need something on the lower end of the cost scale. Manufactured fits there too. It really fits everywhere.
And it fits everywhere because if you take a look at the efficiencies of being factory built, if you take a look at how it is all constructed, you know, it's your home that you build on a stick built home is going to have the same lumber in it that's going into the manufactured home. But the difference is because of the efficiencies of a factory construction, is that it's going to be anywhere from, let's say 25 to 40% less on the construction of the home itself. Now, that doesn't include the land. But if you're looking at the construction of the home, it's going to, the square foot cost per unit is going to be substantially less than what you would do. The other thing is they're fully customizable. That's the thing that people are looking for. You want the chrome kitchen? You got it. There was a home at the recent, there's a show every year in Louisville where 60 homes are set up for people to come in and start looking at them. Somebody had a wine storage unit for their kitchen, you know, all open concept, all, you know, with the latest in construction efficiencies, everything happening with this. And again, the cost though of all of these, even the customizations, are much cheaper than they would be if you were building, you know, a stick built house.
And I think that's really important. And you talk about the amenities and the layouts and the design and the customization is all there. And you touched on earlier about this idea of changing people's minds about what this looks like and opening up new opportunities. You've worked in DC. You've had your hands in the political world a little bit. What's being done on that side? So when I think about changing not only maybe consumer thoughts, but there are regulations that sometimes have to be changed, right? Zoning that has to be changed to allow these homes in certain areas.
Right. So you have two levels of actual regulation that you're taking a look at. You're taking a look at things that come out of housing and urban development. So the construction of these homes actually fall under the regulatory and inspection authority of housing and urban development. We as an industry, through the fees that we pay to HUD for every home that goes through, there's a label on every one of them that goes through that's under the HUD code. We're self-sustaining as an industry. Government doesn't put money into this, doesn't do anything else. They regulate it, but we pay for a lot of the regulation, most of the regulation through those fees. So you have that portion of it that goes. But then you get down the place where really the rubber meets the road is the local community. And you're taking a look at, you know, the zoning issues. You're taking a look at all the people that don't want it in their backyard because they have this idea of me, you know, of me and my fraternity brothers running around Dixie Plaza in Richmond, Kentucky and going, Lord, we don't want any of those folks back again, right? But again, you take a look at some of the communities that are being developed. There's one in London, Kentucky. All of these cross-mod homes. Beautiful homes. 3 and 4 bedrooms. Multiple baths. All on converted property. In other words, it's not going to be titled like a car would be. It's going to convert over to real estate. Where the price point's about $250. You know, find that any other place in something other than something built in a factory, you're going to have a hard time doing that. Now, the other place the rubber comes to hit the road with all of that, too, is the changing view or the changing, I guess, picture of manufactured home communities, which is where you guys come in a lot, right? Because you end up doing the people own their home, they rent their land that they're going to put it on. And what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to find a little bit different than when you're searching for the home online because you want to make sure that it has a wine rack in it, you know, looking for that amenity. people are generally moving to a community for a location. They want to be close to a job. They want to be close to a school. They want to be – I'm at that age where I want to be close to doctors, okay? You look at all of that, and what are the amenities that come with that as they're buying that house and they're putting it in a community? You know, what are the amenities that are offered there? It used to be just, oh, maybe they had a pool. Maybe there's a lake off to the side. But now – gosh, you go to these things. You got dog parks. You got walking trails. You have, I can't think of it. The pickleball courts. Everything. You know, Florida is filled with communities that are the amenities rich in what they do. Golf courses. I was recently down in Florida helping shoot a video for a course that had 2 18 championship golf courses on it. You know, so it's a changing landscape, and the people that want to go to that, they want a lifestyle. You know, they want to live a certain way. They want to have a clubhouse that has. In fact, I was just invited down to see if they wanted to sing with one of my guys in that I was in a band with at their St. Patrick's Day party at one of these communities that I'm familiar with down in Florida. So it's amenity rich. It's how somebody wants to live. And where they want to live. That's the community side of it.
Yeah, and the community side gets me really excited. And you talked about kind of like the not my backyard, which you'll hear, you know, abbreviated like the NIMBY versus yes, my backyard, YIMBY type regulations and lobbying that's going on. But it's not just manufactured homes. We obviously, you know, work with a lot of different types of property owners, and some are in that multifamily space as well. And I see this interesting convergence between multifamily and manufactured housing that can happen, and maybe even single family home rentals, where they're all kind of moving the same direction. And where manufactured housing starts to look a lot like multifamily is in these communities where you build a whole community. There's all of these homes, maybe they're owned, maybe they're rented. It really doesn't matter. Because it could look a lot like an HOA, like a condo type situation, but you created a community where there are amenities, where they are close to the schools, they're close to the places of employment, they're close to wherever they want to be, and we're actually building communities out of these types of homes. Are you that? I'm assuming you're seeing that movement happening very, very fast.
Well, they don't call you the king of Segways for nothing. what is the latest trend that is coming in factory built is something you never thought would happen before, but has been approved by HUD and probably for the last year has been the exciting part of the new product, and that is duplexes. A year ago at the Louisville show, there was one. This year at the Louisville show, there were multiple ones. Communities in this instance, and we're talking about everything that you would look for in any other duplex, firewalls, sound walls, everything. But in one unit, somebody's on one side, somebody's on the other. They've built them long ways. They've built them width-wise. Really fascinating in how they're doing the development of these. And what is even better is that some of the communities that you think would normally turn up their nose because it was built in a factory are going, I kind of like these duplexes. Pinehurst, you know, one of the snooty golf communities maybe the snootiest in the country, besides here in Camargo here in Cincinnati. But they have approved the placement of these duplexes because people are renting them. People are coming to play golf. They want to have a nice experience. They want everything, you know, and they're running out of availability for people to support all the golf courses down in Pinehurst. And it's a big deal when you have a community like that says, you know, we really kind of like this manufactured home thing that you're doing. Let's build them all on that street near the golf courses, near everything that's happening. So that's really the exciting part of it is that you find developers who are wanting to go out and use factory-built homes to develop. We just did a specialty video. If you can get to manufacturedhomes.com, you can go to the video section and you can find it of a project in Maryland, the project in London, Kentucky that we talked about, and a third project where, again, all of it revolves around this new concept, new manufactured homes, taking a look at it and going, as the one of the mayors in Kentucky at the Kentucky League of Cities, in fact, the chairman of the Kentucky League of Cities is on one of the videos saying, you know, the housing crisis is not something we can site build our way out of. We've got to have the ability for somebody to have an attainable home that is built in a factory that fits the aesthetics of the community. That's us.
Yeah. And I can only imagine the energy level and the excitement level of this industry is really growing year after year as some of these challenges are being faced and addressed and there's momentum. Pinehurst is a great example of that. When I think duplex, I do think neighborhood, I think suburb, I think community, right? That's where you find those types of housing options. And the fact that manufactured is solving that and coming in a new way to provide that is exciting. So I start to think, you know, where is manufactured homes not a good fit? Is that even a thing? Does it fit everywhere? Or is there a place where you'd be like, no, really stick built is the only option here?
I don't think it so much has, it doesn't have to do with the process. To be honest with you, our process is better because we're building it in an environmentally controlled, we don't have rain, we don't have wind. You know, when you put a home on a truck and you're taking it 60 miles to its new location, don't worry about wind because it's going to have 55 miles an hour winds for 60 miles. You know, sustained. This thing is going to be solid. Where it becomes important, though, is the aesthetics, which is why, for instance, the CrossMod product was, in fact, developed. Manufactured Housing Institute did a study several years ago, and they found out, why aren't people considering this home over that home? And it was a porch, a roof pitch, a garage, and tape walls, tape and taper walls. We're not going, you know, don't want the old, you know, plastic vinyl over gypsum walls. And if you can provide those things, it's going to fit just about anywhere, which is, again, the CrossMod. If you were to take a look at this project that they're doing down in London, Kentucky, you couldn't, if you looked at them, you couldn't tell that they were anything but a stick-built home. No, they're built in a factory and they were moved here. The other thing, though, that is really becoming prevalent, and there is a credit union that put together a called Credit Union, and they put together an urban infill project in New Orleans. Went into some of the old wards, had some homes built that actually fit the character. People were loving them because you can take that lot, you can take a home in, you put it up on a crane, swing it around, boom, put it down in. Suddenly you have a new house for someone in an urban blighted community that can walk right into it. Pretty cool concept.
And I'm glad you answered that question in that way because, like you said, it really isn't about how it's built, where it's built. It's about the aesthetic. And that is, I think, part of the hesitation that happened for a lot of years is it was maybe very easy to tell what was a manufactured home versus what was a stick-built home for some of those elements that you mentioned. But the industry has stepped in and really solved almost all of those concerns to now you can't tell what the difference is. And I kind of mentioned, you know, the automotive industry earlier. You know, outside of maybe a very specialized car, I don't want the car that I buy to be built in my driveway by a local assembler.
Right.
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 I would much rather buy a vehicle that's been assembled and put together in a factory somewhere by robotics and highly skilled people that do this every day in the same scenario in an environment that's controlled from the weather and so forth. Right. So I think about that same, that's the comparison I always think of is I would never buy a car and they say, oh yeah, well, Well, just tell us what driveway to build it in, and we'll build you a car in that driveway. I don't think I'm buying that car.
Right. Except my brother-in-law, who's building a Cobra right now as a kit back in his garage. That'll be the one difference.
That'll be a little bit different.
But you're absolutely right, is that when you take a look at that and the broad range that is being offered of factory-built homes, and I would probably be remiss if I didn't throw right now the idea, because they're becoming so popular in various states, and that is auxiliary dwelling units, ADUs. It is so much easier to build an ADU in a factory than it is to build an ADU on site, because we're talking about 400 to 600 square feet total. But if you can build one in a factory, bring it in, drop it down on a permanent foundation, as all manufactured homes are done, they're installed on a permanent foundation, whether it be a dirt with footers, or whether it be some of these homes are actually built to be put on top of basements. They're all going to have a permanent foundation when they come in. And so as you take a look at that, it's really easier and more efficient for an ADU to be built in a factory and brought in and placed on land than it is to be able to build that thing on site.
So break down ADU a little bit more for anyone that may not be familiar with that terminology and the type of structure that would be.
An accessory dwelling unit, whether it's built in a factory or whether it's built on site, is something that usually ranges in size from 400 square feet. You're above that HUD level, right? That you have to be 400 feet at least to be a permanent dwelling. And sometimes they will even go up to the size of 1,000. Most of them stay around 400 to 800 square feet. And many states have started allowing these to be placed on property that not only is owned by an individual landowner, but might actually be an accessory dwelling unit for somebody, often referred to as in-law units, granny pads. There's a lot of them. And so states right now are passing a lot of legislation that allow you to come in and put these on land. California has gone so far as to not only allow you to put it on your backyard, but not limit it to just, oh, granny can live there. You can actually rent it. And even in California, you can actually subdivide your backyard and sell that unit and bring that person in. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that these units are being used for to address the affordable housing crisis. But it really is one of the futures. And these things are phenomenal. I really want to get one myself and put it somewhere down on Lake Cumberland so I can go fit, use as a fishing cabin, because my wife and I would kill each other if we had 400 square feet to live in. But very cool, very efficiently designed. Has a lot of amenities in it. They're wonderful, wonderful dwellings.
And that's, the thing I heard there was the comment about California and, breaking off part of your backyard with one of these ADUs to sell is, while we have a housing crisis, we need to think of new ways to solve it.
Absolutely.
And we have to get really creative, or possibly just look around at what is already existing and use it. But, I mean, for a lot of people, that is going outside the box. That is being creative and finding new ways to produce homes faster at lower costs. You'd mentioned a price point of $250,000. The only way to get a home at that price at this point is probably a time machine, right?
Exactly,
if you're buying stick built.
Exactly right. And that's the beauty of, again, manufactured homes. It's not that you're buying a non-quality home. It's a home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the process by which it is used to be made. And I would contend made better than if you're made on site.
Yeah. I haven't had the luxury of visiting one of these factories where they are built, but I know prior to hitting the record button, we talked with Mike Niebauer, who's on the team, and he's one of our relationship managers that's 100% focused on the manufactured housing space. He's been doing it a long time. He's really passionate about it. And he has visited one of those factories. And he will tell you that he was just blown away by the level of control, consistency, the efficiency of all the things that are in place to make sure that every single home that comes out of that factory is up to code, is high quality, is the same as the last one, that there aren't any discrepancies or any issues. He was absolutely just amazed at the whole system.
If you have any questions about manufactured housing, I would strongly suggest you go online, look for the State Association, Trade Association under manufactured housing in your state, call them up and say, where's the closest factory? There's 111 of them, somewhere thereabouts. It goes up and down. It's certainly going up right now. Give them a call and say, I'd like a tour. Because once you walk there, I was down in Florida for the American Planners Association. We were doing some videos down there, had an ADU out front that people got to walk through. And then if you were interested enough, we'll put you on the bus, and about 15 minutes away is in Plant City, Florida, is the Cavco plant. Let's go down and look at it. And when people were walking through, and these are city planners that are used to throwing up roadblocks to manufactured housing, are walking through the factory, walking through model homes and going, this is not what I expected. And especially when they walk through the assembly process, when they walk through the factory and they take a look at, oh my gosh, you know, we're talking 2x6s. We're talking about drywall and finish. We're talking about those types of things. And again, it changes minds when you get a chance to look at the actual factory and walk through the product.
It really does. And I think the industry is probably bigger than a lot of people realize it is, and there's more happening in the industry.
About 10% of every new home start in America is made in a factory. That's give or take on a given year, but it's about 10% of every new home start.
And that's significant, right? Imagine the housing issue we'd be in if we didn't have that 10%. And just imagine if we could double that, right? If we could get that 10% to 20%, 30%.
That you hit it, man, right on the head. And it's not even that much. If you could, you don't have to double it. You know, with every 1 or 2%, you could increase that. Imagine the home ownership that you can create through the whole process of just a few more year here, a few more year here. Last year, I think it was 100 and production was 100 and I want to say 5,000, somewhere in that range, homes that were made. And again, that came in at 9% last year. So that'll give you an idea of what we're talking about every year.
Lots of work left to do, obviously. And another story that I started to get a little bit about, but I think you can probably fill in the details here. I mentioned Mike was telling me a little bit about his experiences in the manufactured housing space. He mentioned a project that's called From Bookwork to Blueprints.
Yeah, great project.
And that just tells me that there's a lot of work to do in the industry, but I want to hear your side of what that project is all about.
So we're sitting in the office one day. I work out of Kentucky, out of my home in Kentucky, but our company is located in Irvine, California. And we get a phone call one day from a retailer that we do work with who said, man, you ought to see what these kids are doing a couple counties over from me in Indiana. Okay, what are they doing? This school, Perry Central, in middle, right in the heartland of Indiana, they decided to do away with shop class. Because, you know, I mean, how many wood bowls can you make for your mother for Mother's Day, right? Great vision, though, by the shop teachers. They cleared out the shop and they made a factory floor. And they, every year now, make a house to give to Habitat for Humanity. First house was actually given by Habitat for Humanity to a worker at the school. But they start with the whole basic process, building from the ground up a house in their factory at their school. If you have construction projects in your high school community, think about this. Normally you have to drive an hour to where it is. You spend an hour in class, you drive an hour back. No, these kids spend like 3 hours a day in a factory, working on a home, learning how, you know. And it was great. We had them in last year for the Louisville show. So we show up and we start filming this. So we do, there is, if you go to our page on YouTube, I think we have 8 or 9 episodes of the progress that they make in building this home. And it's fascinating because the kids are not only learning a trade, because that's the job, right? Okay, that was what shop was supposed to have done, but all we ended up with was a bunch of wooden balls. These kids are building houses. Every year they build a house now. In their factory, inside. They're not only learning that, though, but they're learning the appreciation for those in the community that need housing. We brought them to the Louisville show last year to be able to walk around and see these homes. And these kids, and it's a wide range of kids that are taking it. One kid, all he wants to do, man, he wants to get into the construction trades. That's what he wants to do. Young lady who was there, she said, I'm getting ready to graduate. I don't want to have to call my dad every time I want to hang a picture. I want to learn how to use a hammer. I want to learn how to use the tools. And it's just a fascinating program. Again, if you get a chance, go to YouTube. Go to the manufacturedhomes.com channel on YouTube, and you can see the progress of this. Absolutely fascinating. One of the great success stories of the industry.
Yeah, that's amazing. And this whole idea of, A, like you said, the vision that the leaders in that school had to turn something that was – okay, program, right? Workshop has, you know, sure. But have the vision to really turn it into something great where they're teaching people a trade, they're teaching people lifelong skills, even if they never go into construction, but then they're giving back to their community all at the same time. I mean, very rarely do you hit that many great things. I mean, if you do one great thing, that's, you know, commendable, but if you do that many great things, that's just remarkable. So it's great that you're able to pull them into the industry and kind of show them off a little bit, because really, we should be doing this for our young people, right? We should teach them how to use their hands in addition to their minds, and how to care for the people around them.
When you and I were growing up, you know, you getting sent off to the shop class were for the kids, you know, or the offsite trade school, you know, was usually for the kids who, you know, had had the bad mannered kids. No, that's not anymore. We should be teaching that not everybody needs a college education. And God love the people that do, that go to school to do everything. You and I did. But that's not for everybody anymore. And the fact that we're able to – one of the states started a program called the Hard Hat Millionaire. And the idea, the concept is that you can go to school, you can get student loan to death, and when you hit 40, that's about the time – you'll be paying off your loan. Or you can get a job in the trades. You can put 10% into an IRA, and when you turn 40, you're going to have $1 million in the bank. Which would you rather do? And so that's part of the whole concept of the hard hat millionaire, is that, you know, there's something to be said for working in the trades.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get back into teaching that more in school, and not having it a place where just we send the bad kids who are discipline problems in the high school. We really want to make sure that we teach them how to sling a hammer.
Yep. I used the phrase new world earlier. It really is the truth, right? We're in a new world in many different aspects. And that's one of them where, like you said, the idea of college is great. We need doctors and lawyers, and we need people that have very specific skills.
I'm a lawyer,
skills.
Trust me, we don't need
it. We don't need anymore. We're done with lawyers. No more lawyers. But we need people that know how to actually build things and do things.
Yeah.
And I think we lost a passion for it for the last couple of decades, honestly. I do think there will be a resurgence. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And there's a lot of success stories. Like, that's a fun little example of, like, if you go into a trade, you probably won't take on $100,000 in student loan debt that you have to pay off. And it's just a different path. It's not that one is better than the other. It is a different path. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the difference between a manufactured house and a stick-built house. Whether you're buying or renting, it's not that one has to be better than the other. It's a different path. And when we look at renting versus buying, you know, historically, it's like, well, no, you want to buy your home. You want to own your home. Well, that's not everyone's story anymore. Some people want to rent. That's a lifestyle choice for them. And where we are in our culture, that's embraced and that's accepted. And that's the right way to view it is one is not better than the other. It's just a different path that you're taking through life. So you can go into the trades and you can rent a manufactured home and have an amazing life. Or you can go to college and you can do this or that, right? It's just a matter of choice.
And they could actually buy a manufactured home too.
They could. Well, yeah. Maybe I should have flipped that scenario, right? I should have flipped that example a little bit. But the idea is we all get to pick our path. And it's not that one is better than the other, especially now. There's opportunity everywhere we look.
And that is the beauty. We brought these kids in to the Louisville show. And again, they get to walk around and see, you know, 50 homes. We focused in on three or four of them, but they get to walk around and see the thing. And the look on these kids' faces when they see that, oh, this is actually something that, you know, is being done. What we're doing is just a small bit of this. And what was really cool is that as we were showing them around, one of the heads of one of the major companies that build manufactured homes, one of the plant managers, walked up to the teacher and said, tell your kids, if they're interested in this, I'll hire two of your class every year. On, you know, no question asked. Send them down. If they want to move, if they want to move to the area that our factory's in, I'll hire two of them every year. That's how, again, prevalent it is in the industry of getting that new talent, getting the new workforce together so that we can put these homes out on the market.
That's right. Well, Rick, as we come to the end of this episode, we've learned so much and really been well entertained by you as well. Any last thoughts? If people want to learn more about manufactured homes, where should they go? What website or what resources out there that you think is best suited to help people learn more?
First thing, because we're talking to a national audience here, is that I would suggest the first thing that you do is look at the websites for your individual state trade association. Usually there's a lot of good information. We, in fact, have built websites for, I'm going to say, 17 states that you can go into the homes that are available and shop. It's kind of a submarket of our main site. Mm-hmm. You can go into these individual states and actually get into, you know, what's available in Wisconsin, what's available in Nevada, what's available in Arizona, Florida. So you can not only do that, but you can go to MHI, which is the National Trade Association. You can find information there. Or you can go to manufacturedhomes.com. Plug. Make sure we get that plug in. Manufacturedhomes.com. And it will direct you to all the different sites where you can find more information about manufactured homes, the manufacturing process, and how these homes are the future of and the answer to the affordability crisis.
Well, that's excellent. Absolutely. Definitely plug manufacturedhomes.com. We'll drop a link in the show notes for that as well. We're very active in many of the state associations, definitely very active with MHI on the national level. We love what those associations are doing for the industry to help support and continue to help it grow. So once again, Rick, thanks for joining me today.
And glad to be here. This was a wonderful time. Appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. And for those that are watching and listening, we thank you for joining us. And until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Beyond Rent. If you enjoyed this podcast, spread the word on social media and with your peers in the industry. To be notified when more episodes are released, subscribe using your favorite podcast player. Beyond Rent is brought to you by Rent Manager Property Management Software. Learn more about Rent Manager's industry-leading software solutions at rentmanager.com. Until next time, keep going Beyond Rent.